He said, amen. You know, he's one of those he used to speak in tongues all the time. He didn't used to greet people as walking on the road. You know, it's always. So as he began to, he was the one leading the party that day, all right? As he began to climb, he said, amen, in the name of Jesus. We are climbing this place in the name of Jesus. We are climbing this place. And so my friend who was there was like, what's going on here? You know, that kind of thing. Of course, they're all spiritual people, so he didn't say anything. Well, later on, he was now referring to it. That I realized that what that brother was doing actually was actually, let me summarize like this, was the will of God. All right? Well, he was saying that anything you are doing, you should remember to speak and say you are doing it in the name of Jesus. Now, before I even talk about whether you need to say it, I want you to understand something. That it's not just what you are saying now, because there are a number of things in here, which you see what Paul wrote to us. He said you should be giving thanks through him to God the Father. So it's important your mouth is always working in your life. I'll talk about that. You must have an attitude of thanksgiving all the time. And not just, you know, there's a blind kind of thanksgiving. And it's not bad. It's better than grumbling and complaining. But it's not the best form of thanksgiving. But it's still good. What I mean by blind form is that they have said, let's be thankful. So you are just thankful for everything. You know, if you have a headache, Lord, thank you for the headache. You don't understand what is good about it. But you're just thankful anyway. No, you're not thankful. You are saying thank you. You understand? Now, that's what I call blind form of thanksgiving. And it's good. It's good. It's better than complaining. Far better. But this is the informed form of thanksgiving. You're actually saying thank you because you know that concerning that headache, you have victory in Christ Jesus. And that this headache cannot change the fact that in Christ Jesus, I have victory. Are you getting my point? You're driving. Your tire goes down. You have a small accident, you come out, you look at your car, it's been damaged. There is, Father, we thank you. They say we should thank you all the time. I thank you, even though you know how much it's going to cost me to repair this car. I thank you. I'm not saying I'm not thanking you. But this is going to make me late for my appointment today. I thank you. You know, that's my point. That's what I call the blind form of thanksgiving. It's not bad. It's not... It's better than complaining and whining, but it's not as good as the informed form of thanksgiving, in which you know that your problem in life is not the devil. So the devil did not scatter your car. In which you know that there's a doctrine called he takes away the first to establish the second. In which you know that a lateness to an appointment can never stop you from entering into the blessing of God. In which you know that even though the seed dies, you understand? All right? Before he died, he was abiding alone. But now that he's dead, in resurrection, it will multiply. There's a kind of thanksgiving which you know that indeed all things work together for your good. You're not doubting it. It may not feel nice, but you get my point? Just know that. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like I say all the time, he takes away the first to establish the second. Many times, God removes one thing from your life. But because you understand the doctrine of he takes away the first, that it might establish the second. It might pain you, but you know. So when you say thank you, you mean it literally. You're actually grateful. Are you getting my point? Bear that in mind. Very important. Must be part of your life as a believer. Now, Paul said that whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I was saying that, so my friend was explaining then that yeah, we should always be talking. Very important. And I think it's good for us to remind ourselves by talking. Like that brother was climbing and he was saying that I am climbing this place in the name of Jesus Christ. What I want to quickly talk about is what does it really mean to say you are doing something in the name of Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. And that is a summary of everything. We all know what it means when we say pray in the name of Jesus. I'll still talk about that briefly. In fact, let me start from that point. Because of our time, we won't do much reading. I just want to start talking. Now, you heard Jesus say, when he was talking in the book of John, that in that day you will ask me nothing. But whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. What does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? I'll start with that. I'm going to be brief about it because I've said it many times before. This is the doctrine of righteousness. We heard a story, in fact, let me not go over it again because of time. We'll talk about true righteousness revealed. If you have not heard that series, go and listen to it. But in that, I explained that righteousness means that you want to have favor with somebody. So when that man was sacked from his job in the book of Luke, when Jesus was talking, telling us about it, that the man said, now that I'm being relieved from my appointment as a manager, let me go and make friends with my boss's debtors so that when I come into their homes to look for help, they will receive me. So he went to one and said, how much are you owing my boss? He said, $100,000 as an example. He said, okay, here is your receipt, whatever instrument we had. Let's quickly write another instrument and say that it's $50,000 you are owing. So you only have to pay $50,000. And those people will say, he's a good man. Now, he did that all over the place. The idea is that he wanted them to receive him into their homes when they will come looking for help. Now, we said that's what righteousness actually is. It is that you are received in the home of somebody. And for us Christians, our righteousness is with God. So what we are trying to do is to make sure we are receivable, that's a better word, in the home of God when we go to make our prayers before his throne, that he will look towards us with favor. That's the meaning of the word righteousness. And so what we try to do, which is common in today's Christianity, is that we want to make sure God is kind of obligated, that is owing us when we come. So what we are taught a lot in today's Christianity, which I want to say again, sorry, I don't mean to be contentious or to be controversial, but because it's the truth, is actually not true what we keep on practicing. We say before you can come and ask God for something, you must give him something first. That is not only untrue, it's an insult. It is not only untrue, it is an insult. You don't understand the riches of his grace when you behave like that. Let me say it again. It is not only untrue that before you can ask God for something, you must give him something. So we call it in Christianity sowing a seed. Let me say it clearly again. It is not only untrue, it is an insult to God. I've talked about it again and again. I'm not going to go over it in details. So what we do, when we come to the Lord Jesus, and when we come to pray, our mind starts replaying the things we have done for God. God, you know, I gave that man of God an offering. God, you know, I helped that young boy who was going to school. God, you know, I have done all of these things. Therefore, I have come to pray. You will do something for me also. I say to you again, you will not be justified. You will not be justified. Jesus said it clearly, you will not be justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means to be declared righteous. It means to be accepted in God's presence. It means God looks at you and says, yes, you have, in quote, done right. Therefore, you are okay to come into my life, into my home, and receive a gift. That's what it means to be justified. If you come to God like that, you will not be justified. He won't give you anything. Listen, I know I'm going round and round the same point. It's because Christians have heard the opposite plenty. With God, it does not work. You can never come before his throne and recite what you have done and think that is a basis, all right, upon which he will grant you your request. That is not Christianity. That is insulting the Lord Jesus Christ and insulting God the Father. Like I say all the time, Christians are givers. What did I say? Givers means they give. That is, the best way I can explain is that God said that will a woman forget her suckling child? That is the nature of a woman to remember her baby. Is the nature of a woman, the baby doesn't have to sow any seed into that woman's life. It's just her nature. In the same manner, a Christian is a giver. We give by nature. We love God, therefore we give to God, whichever way we describe him. Because in my book, How to Work for God, I explained what it means to give to God. Many people who claim they are giving to God, they are not giving to him. They are giving to themselves. They are giving to idols. And the way I explain that simply, because I'm trying to be quick now, I can't teach all of that this time. Just want to drop one thing here, a few things here and there, based on what we have spoken the previous times. So anybody who can't understand this, instead of just running away, go and get the previous messages in which I will spend at least 10 hours explaining these things and listen to them. All right? Now, for us Christians, we don't come to God. Now, I was saying that the way by which we give to God, all right, there are different ways. A lot of people say they are giving to God. They are not giving to him. They are idolatrous. And how you know a man is an idolater? and a woman is an idolater, if you check your giving and it's only in church you give, you're an idolater. Listen, I'm a pastor. We spend hundreds of thousands of naira monthly to keep broadcasting this word. So we spend money. It's not my money. It's not my wife's money. It's not my family's money. Everybody, including me, all right, and my family, everybody contributes. So I receive offerings. I know Christians must give. But I will not, because of what need we have, lie to you. I preach like this and people still give. But the truth must be told. A lot of Christians only believe in giving to what looks like God outwardly. Because, you know, there are reasons. There are two reasons. One, they are afraid. They are afraid. It's like offering, pouring libation to the gods. That's what they are doing. Paying of the spirits. That's what they are doing. That is why they are not kind people. They don't pay their staff on time, but they give tithes regularly. Go to their offices. Their staff are poorly paid. They could double those wages without effort. They won't do it. They are owing people for 2-3 months, but they will never dare hold the pastor for 1 month. Ah, you want him to remove the cover over their heads? They fear. They don't know that the cover left long ago. I said something to you before. It's not me, Jesus that said it. That when I show up, I show up as the least of my brethren. When I show up in your life, I show up as how? The least of my brethren. You think the pastor can bless you? God said that if one of your workers go to sleep at night and cries because of hunger, you're in trouble. I don't care who the person you claim is the papa over your head is. There's no papa that's big enough to overturn the voice of a man you unjustly defrauded when he cries to God. None! I see why I'm afraid. That is, when they see us like this, wear suit and speak English and quote to scripture, they tremble. When they go to their offices, they are wicked. They will buy a car for pastor take. But the person who's working for them, who needs a bicycle to move around, it doesn't cross their minds that fellow should be given a bicycle. What am I preaching? All around Christianity. Like I say, you know, I say to women all the time, women hear it again. If I see you, you talk to your husband like this. John, carry your head, come on, John. And you now see me, pastor, good afternoon. Look, now because of respect for your husband, now I go kick you. You poke your husband in the head with your forefinger. And you now see me and kneel down. Men are not talk against your knees. Listen, if you want to respect me, you're a woman listening to me, you want to respect me, go home, practice it. You understand? I won't take your respect if you don't give to your husband. I see my husband, how come you go pinch him for a cheek? He talks, wait, I'm coming. Hey, good afternoon, sir. Hey, don't greet me. Jezebel, don't greet me. Listen, as a woman, let me just tell you something. If you ever kneel down for any man in this world, go back home and stand down for your husband now. Because it means you know kneeling down is good. If you don't want to kneel, don't kneel. Go to America, go to Estonia, go to any white country and learn their culture. But if you ever bend those knees for any male on this earth, including your father, it means you know kneeling is good. And I'm saying to you directly without mincing words, you are walking in iniquity if you don't do it for your husband. If you don't want to do it, don't do it at all. That's what I call idolatry. You see, man of God, you're going to tremble. Because you think God only dwells in a man's suit. Listen, let me tell you the truth. God wears rags. Hear what I said? Sometimes he's going to show up wearing rags. And you had better be prepared that day. And the only way you won't be caught unawares is if you make it a habit. The day Abraham entertained angels, he had no idea that they were angels. He knew that this terrain was difficult. And these people were out at night. So he took them in. And that's what happened. He entertained angels. When Lot was going to receive their deliverance, he said, you people are, you know the way it is. They said, don't cross head bridge at night. Remember? That was what happened to Lot. He saw people entering into Sodom at night. Are you people okay? Sodom at night? This is not head bridge. No, sorry. Open waker now. We're talking. Don't be head bridge. Open waker. He said, come. Enter before they catch you. That was how deliverance entered into his house. I'm talking about that to explain what it means to pray in the name of Jesus again. A lot of us, we know, if you want to know whether you're an idolater, check that good thing you are doing. How are you doing it? I say it all the time. The only person that knows that you are generous is your pastor. You are not generous. You are an idolater. As your pastor knows you are generous, your neighbor should know you are generous. Your co-workers in the office should know you are generous. Your father, earthly father, should know you are generous. Your earthly mother should know you are generous. Your brothers should know you are generous. People around you should know you are generous. We're not talking about show. We're just trying to say we are givers as Christians, and it shows in every respect. We're not trying to bribe God. We are just givers. Let me turn it the other way around, because some people think that a ministry doesn't need money because the people don't beg. Your generosity must include ministry also. You know, you have to balance these things. I'm just saying that it's an all-round thing. What did I say? All-round. Don't think. Let me say this one again. Hi, I go talk him. I no go talk him. It's the truth. Don't think because you rush forward with an offering, putting an offering basket in front here, and as putting inside, you're pouring ungodly incantation on the money. You know what I call ungodly incantation? I'm calling forth my promotion, my wife, my children. They will come. As I'm giving this offering, as I'm giving this money, you go forth and bring me promotion. It's ungodly incantation. If you want drop money, drop him. If you don't want to give, who come? They come your house, come use machine gun, bring you come. This is how to give offering. Father, I thank you for the opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. And you walk away. That is how to give offerings, so. You know, go? That is how to give offerings, so. You take the money. If it is in church, as an example, say simply, Father, I thank you for the opportunity. Drop it and walk away. Huh? Are you getting me? Drop it and walk away. Go and see the Old Testament. When Moses gave them commandment on how to give offerings, the offering was never, he said, my father was a slave. Then God brought us out. Now out of the fruit of it, we have brought this one to you. That's all they used to say. But as I'm planting this shit right now, I'm going to bring my car. I'm going to bring my wife. Offerings don't bring any of those things. It's God that brings them as merciful outpouring from his soul. Are you getting what I'm saying? So what you need to get them is to say, God, I beg now, say to this guy too. That's all. You want a car? Say, Lord, say to me now. May I shine small. In Jesus' name. God will say, yeah, my guy, don't worry, it's coming. It's coming. I'm talking about how to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I started by saying that how the Lord would do it. I'm saying all this to let you know, this is how to pray not in the name of Jesus. All this one we have done. How do we pray in the name of Jesus? That's what I'm talking about. It is not because of what you give to God that is given back to you. It's given to you because of what Jesus gave to God. Let's put it like that. Why is God giving to you? Because Jesus has, you know, I said that righteousness means that you are accepted. Righteousness means that you can come boldly and you are looked at with favor. And the Bible says, herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. He said, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed. They came to Jesus and said, what must we do to walk the works of God? He said, the work of God is that you believe. He said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. God gives to you because you believe in Jesus Christ. I said at the beginning that everything that God rewarded Jesus with, Jesus took around and gave to you. So every time you come to ask on that premise, you are asking in the name of Jesus. It's not just that you are uttering, God, I ask you in Jesus' name, but you know I've given towards it too. That is not in the name of Jesus. Are you getting my point? To ask in the name of Jesus simply means that the only reason I'm going to get this, the only reason why I'm going to get this is because Jesus said, I will get it. It's because God the Father has given it to Jesus Christ. The only reason I'm getting it is because of what Jesus did, and I have faith in him. My faith in him has connected me with the favor of God. It has connected me with that God is looking at me as making his face shine upon me, making his face shine upon me because of my faith in him. And like I said to us then, I resist every attempt to look at my good works. Listen, it's good to live a good and holy and righteous life as a young man, as a young woman. But that is not what guarantees you a good husband or a good wife. I hope you are hearing me. Yes, so you don't go and say, God, all my friends are chasing babes. So you know, I'm holding myself. You give me a good wife. No, I say, don't worry. Jezebel, full ground. They never finish. They will come to church because of you. Tell your neighbor, I reject it.
I reject it.
Good. So if you want to reject it, this is how you reject it too. Say, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus alone. Give me a good wife. I'm not quoting for you my good works. I'm just saying you are good and you are merciful. You are overlooking all my iniquities. I may have done something wrong. I'm sorry about it. In my spirit, there's no guile. In my spirit, all that is there is faith in Jesus Christ. I say, Lord, I know because of that, that good wife is my own. Thank you in Jesus' name. And you go away. Same thing with the good with the woman. That's how you pray it. Say, Lord, you know, all my friends were doing abortion. I wasn't there. And God said, neither was I there. The next two of us. One man told a joke once. He said, we were talking about Christianity. It was John Gillick. We were talking about Christianity. He said, Christianity is not, I didn't do that, I didn't do that. He said, one day, a man walked on the beach. He saw a crab. You know a crab? If you've been to the beach, you see them scurrying around. So he said, Mr. Crab, wait. There was a lobster. He said, so Mr. Lobster, wait. He said, do you smoke? He said, I don't smoke. Do you drink? Mr. Lobster said, I don't drink. Do you womanize, you know? Do you try that? He said, no. Ah, I said, oh, you must be a good Christian. Meet another Christian. So the crab and the man shook hands. John Gillick was trying to say, that is not what Christianity is. Because you don't smoke, neither does the crab. You don't drink, the crab too doesn't drink. Does that make the crab a Christian? He was talking about the connection with the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's how what life is about. It is not what I have done, what I have not done. It is what I have believed. What I have committed my life to. That is how we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I say I'm teaching today on how to live in the name of Jesus. You are living in the name of Jesus. So just dispense of that quickly. The fact that, listen, oh, we are not getting anything from God because of what we did for him. Two people went to pray. One said, that's a Pharisee. I'm not like that one. I'm not like this. I do this. I don't do this. I do this. The other one went and said, you see, I'm a sinner. I agree. Have mercy upon me. And Jesus said, that one went home justified. He didn't come bragging on what he had done. He came bragging or hoping. That's the word. He came hoping, depending on the mercy that God gives for us now in Christ Jesus. Listen, that is the reason why you live. That is the reason why you are getting anything from God. Let me say it again. Christians are givers, but we don't give so we can get. I like to correct this all the time. They say nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. And I say to them, it's not so. James said, you have not because you ask not. That is, James was saying, nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your mouth. Are you getting my point? No, it's not your money. that draws money from God. It's your prayer and your faith that draws everything from him. Say, Pastor Banky, should I be a giver? Only sinners are not givers. People that don't have faith, they are not givers. They think what they have now, they got by their own strength. That's why they can't give. They think their tomorrow is, I have to save up, save up, save up. Jesus said, listen, if you put your treasure on the earth, thieves will break in and steal, and moths will destroy. He said, lay your treasure in heaven. And when he was talking to them, this is how you lay your treasure in heaven. He said, go out and do good. Simple. That's why we are as Christians. We believe in heaven. We believe there is a place called heaven. We know anything we put there is safe, is secure. That's why we are givers. Anybody who's not a giver is an unbelieving Christian. Doesn't have faith. And as such a person, his prayer may have problems because he really doesn't have faith. I told you once, I shared a testimony when I was getting married. I mean, you know, if you have gotten married, you know what I'm saying? You have to spend money. I was always spending money. You know, people said that they worry. Two things. People say they can't sleep. I've never had that problem in my life up to that time. I said they worry. I've never understood what it meant to worry. But one day, maybe I used to brag that if I hit the bed like this, 10 minutes later, I've reached the third heavens. But this one, I'll go to bed by 11, 12 I'm awake, 1 I'm awake, 2 I'm awake. What's going on? Then one day, it suddenly hit me. That Banky, this is what they call worry. I say, yeah. Because I wanted to marry. You know, when I lay down, I know they calculate. And when they pay salary, end of this month, then I will come out this 1,000 naira. Then, that cap, that man said, you know, go grease 600, though. Hey, man. Okay, no problem. Maybe I will call John. Then, now, there was no call to anybody then. You go and see. I'll go and see John. Then let's see whether I can trim the card by 1 inch. That will save us how much? Oh. You will do that 2 hours. You know the interesting thing? The day I realized this is what they call worry, that was when I said, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Then one day I was sharing with the woman I was about to marry, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Instruct them that are rich in this world not to place their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but to trust in God who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good. I said, I was just sharing, then something dawned on me. That any man who is not generously sharing what he has, any woman that's not freely giving out of what he or she has, out of what she has already, is putting faith in those things. I finished sharing with her that day, and I said, okay, this message is not for you. It is for me. Oh, because then every piece that is, if I find 10 kobo in my jacket, it goes towards the wedding. If I find 5 naira, it goes towards the wedding. If I'm going on the road and you say, Banky, how now? I felt led in my spirit to dash you 15 naira. That's towards the wedding. If you say buy coke, why should I buy coke when I'm getting married? You know? That was when I realized that I have been putting my hope in the uncertainty of riches. So that next day, I took the little money I had. I went to church. And it was Sunday. Put money in an envelope. I greeted my pastor. Okay, good afternoon, sir. I gave him an offering. I had not done that in a while because I was getting married. A friend of mine was wedding a week before me. 1 week exactly. So I said, boy, man, you're spending money. I don't say you don't try. Now I carry money. I give up. The boy must have thought I hit jackpot somewhere. Yes! He said, I rejoice at thy word. Like he that finds great treasure. Are you getting my point? I actually hit a jackpot. You know, I remember later his wife to be was greeting me. Thank you, Mr. That this guy said that I gave him something. Thank you very much. God bless you. I said, oh, it's well. No. It's good to be a giver. I did all my offerings by faith. Now, the summary of what I'm going to say is this. If I didn't do that, it was that I didn't have faith. Are you getting my point? When I rekindled my faith, I said, no, giving is part of my life. I said, God, now gave you money back. No. What God gave me was wisdom. Listen, that has worked for me every aspect of my life. There's one of the things I told my wife really some time ago. God, I don't know how the Holy Spirit instructed me. He said, stop penny pinching. Now go penny pinching. Okay. You know, they say, let's take bus from here to there. You say, ah, the bus now 15 hours, you go trek. Your ankle is going to wear out, you don't know. Extension of penny pinching is being penny wise, pound foolish. No, really, I know, as God is raising you in life, be careful that you are ensuring that every part of your life is being raised. Yes, it's true, because some people, God is raising them. The only thing that's been raised in their life is their bank balance. Their shoe has not been raised. The shirt is not raised. The tie is not raised. The jacket is not raised. The phone is not raised. One of my friends, I used to abuse him all the time. I said, you're not the poorest person on this earth. At your age, you are using the same phone that my son is using. And he said, Pastor, don't worry. God is working in my life. I said, get away, my friend. I'm buying a decent phone. You know, I don't know, my wife laid hold on him. I don't know how he went and opened his mouth and said, yeah, come and see your wife. So my wife caught him. And then she was throwing him. He was shining. Then time he sees me and I say, hey, Pastor, am I not shining? Greet your wife for me. I said, ah. One day I sat him down. I calculated for him how much he was earning. He said, it's a lie. I said, Leanna, prove me wrong. When I totaled his income for him, I totaled his income. Not my own, no. His own. Then I opened. Then one day, finally told me, he said, he calls me Pastor. That is my colleague. He said, Pastor, I like this your phone, no. So I'm going to buy one. I said, you, I don't believe you. The next week, I saw him without phone. I called my wife. I said, miracles are happening, no. God is working in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. Very important. What I'm saying is very important. If God is raising you, you must raise every aspect of your life, not only your bank account. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, it's very crucial. You must allow God to raise you. When God is raising you, just watch, make sure every aspect of your life is cooperating. You are still wearing shirt till it tear. That is why God has not given money for another one. Wear your portion. You understand what I say? Come on, them, dry clean them, fold them. Say, who's that one for? Somebody else who can buy a brand new. You will drive moto till you die. Meanwhile, you will have money. I wonder, someone of my colleagues said, hey, I'll have this my car for 10 years. Me? Buy Tokumbo, drive it for 10 years. God, not cost me, I beg. He said, but the car is still good. It's not what we're talking about. Must it be bad before you give somebody? Don't realize it, though. He said, the car is still good. One day, a friend of mine looked at me and said, okay, sell this car. I said, why should I sell it? He said, this is the time to sell it. So whoever buys will enjoy it. Didn't know, it struck me that this is a revelation. And my prayer to God, in my life, from now. In fact, I'm saying it, my wife is hearing now, I will never sell the car again. Again. I've said it now openly. We have no choice. Even if we need the money, it's on record now. We can't sell a car again. I'm not trading it in. God, please, I'm begging you, remind me that I said it publicly. So let me not go and sing with my mouth. And you use your portion. What is it? And God is raising you up. Let somebody else use the portion in it now. You go use phone. You will see cell phone. Phone! Don't sell it. God will help you. You will buy another one without sweat. In fact, you have bought another one. What am I even praying about for? You bought another one. I said, this one is still good, though. I should be able to get like 5K from it. Poverty mentality. Very soon, you will carry your shoe, go OK Market, go sell them. That's not your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One day, I went to buy tires of my wife's car. Then she was driving a Jetta. So, one day, she came from work. Then she was still working in UBA. She was just so angry because I had no embarrassment like 2 times. No, but me too, we're still young. Then I was not used to all these kind of things too much. We just married like a year or two before that time. So I said, okay, don't worry. Before I go patch the tire, So after that, when she come, why, I said, okay. So I drove to camp. All right. Is it 14 rim? Whatever it is. 185 by 2000 rim 14. Oh, yeah. How much? I price. Bought four. So, of course, the boys, after paying them, they changed the old tires. They now brought out the old ones and put it there and said, hey, okay, how much you want to sell them? I look at the guy. How much I want to sell old tires? Will my wife reject? I told him, I said, there are some things I will sell and God will punish me. I don't want punishment. Put them for my boot. I drove to one man who had been eyeing my tires before. I said, okay, you said I want to change this tire. I should let you know. I have changed them now. Here, take the four old. He had these rickety old vehicles that used to ply Obiagu to stadium that time. You remember those vehicles before Sullivan was born? Yeah. So, I Google give him the tire. In fact, I'm sure the prayer he prayed for me that day earned me some good time in this life. I'm telling you. The man was, I said, look, there are some things you sell now. God will collect 10 times back from you. No, is it 7 times? When the thief is caught. God has to, you're a thief. You go. No, God will collect back. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I hope you are blessed today. What is some of what I've said today? I'll continue next time. I was hoping I'll finish today, but I definitely cannot finish. Is to let us realize that we are supposed to be walking, living in the name of Jesus Christ. We are living in the name. I said number one thing is asking in his name in prayer. Asking in his name in prayer. And I said that we don't do for God and then we not take what we have done to him in prayer and then expect something back. If we do that, we are asking in the name of our good works and it doesn't fly. It doesn't fly with God. It does not fly with him. We are stepping into a realm where the devil is very, very good. That's what the Bible calls an accuser of the brethren. That's where he flourishes. You say, I have done this, God said, and the devil will now say to God, yes, he has done this, but he has not done this. And listen to me, there are more things you have not done than the ones you have done. And that's why God gave you Jesus Christ. He has done everything. And everything that he did well. Therefore, you plug into what he has done, and it is irrelevant what you have done or have not done. And you must never drop from that place and go to the place where you cannot start arguing on what you have done. Listen, you have not done enough to merit any good thing from the hand of God. Let me tell you that. You haven't. Like I like to illustrate all the time, you don't know the cost of one breath. You don't know the cost. You breathe in and you bring it out. If you know the amount of actin and myosin fibers that are rearranging themselves, if you know the cost of each ATP molecule for each one to move a fraction of a nanometer, you won't even think about asking God, say, okay, well, see, what thing I don't do, it, you should, how you go do back? And you know, and now, okay, I know where I got to where I was. I said, listen, Christians are generous people. That's why we give. We are givers. We're not trying to get from God. We are just givers. We give to whom we love. We give to whom we want to honor. We give also to those who are in need. If we believe in this gospel, we give to it. If we see a needy person, we give to them. These are all the things we put together, and God calls us a cheerful giver. And believe me, God loves a cheerful giver. Anybody who is giving because of what you're going to get is not a cheerful giver. It's a cheerful and miserable investor. Are you getting my point? Next time I'll continue the message on living in the name of Jesus. One of the things about it is that a victorious life. I was reading it from the Bible in basic English. It said from every tribe, every nation, God has brought them out and made them a kingdom of priests and kings. And most Bible said they shall reign on the earth. Bible in basic English said, and they are reigning on the earth. I say, ye. That is, God said they are reigning on the earth. I say, we must decode why it doesn't look like that. We must. Because as far as God is concerned, we are reigning on the earth. These are the things I want to talk about living in the name of Jesus. Living in the name of Jesus, part of what we said today about Balaam and Balak. And, you know, enemies. When you are living the name of Jesus, you don't care. It doesn't matter those who are your enemies. Why? You are living in the... And it's an attitude. Walk in life like that. You feel doesn't mean anybody is cursing you. They can't curse you. Who? If a person wanted to curse you, the mouth spoiled long ago. If they ever open their mouth, they open their mouth and never spoil, they can only pour forth the blessing. And God said it. Moses was speaking. He said, the Lord thy God loved you so much, he turned the curses that Balaam was bringing forth, turned them into a blessing for you. Why? The Lord your God loved you. If you are loved by God this evening, wave your hand and say, Father, I thank you because you loved me. I thank you because you love me. Thank you because I'm living in the name of Jesus Christ.